You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
So how do you?
Well, okay, but now what you're talking about is a collaborative writer, somebody, or what the term years ago used to be ghostwriter, where, you know, that person will write for a celebrity. Who is, I mean, as most celebrities aren't writers, so they'll hire somebody to do that. And we used to call that ghostwriting decades ago. Now it's, I think the term is collaborative writer. Sometimes that person's name will appear on the cover, sometimes it won't. And yes, a good collaborative writer will write so that it sounds like the person, that other person wrote it. You don't want it. If I come along as a collaborative writer, I don't want it to sound like I wrote the book. It's got to sound like the subject wrote the book. But a freelance editor, and every writer needs an editor, a freelance editor or an editor within a publishing house will take. So, for example, when I wrote this devotion and I submitted it to the publisher. They had in-house editors who would basically polish it. So if there was a grammatical error, if there was punctuation that wasn't right, if a sentence was structured awkwardly and they felt like with a little tweak it could be smoother, they would do that. So a good freelance editor will polish the work without changing the voice. So that means when I do freelance editing, I will do those things, polish the book, but I will not change things that are personal preferences. So, for example, if the author used a word that it's not one of my favorite words and I like a synonym better, I wouldn't change it because that would be rewriting the book to sound like me.
Like you might say ain't, which is an improper word to use most times, ain't, but you hear that, you know, in a Bob Dylan song, you know, ain't no use to wonder why, babe, ain't no use to wonder why.
And so if it's a preference thing, I might, in my comments to the author, suggest alternatives for them to consider, but I wouldn't change it. Whereas polishing the book in terms of punctuation or grammar or sentence structure, those are things that I would do because I want their book to shine.
Yeah, because you work very. Yeah, go ahead.
For me, when I submitted the book to the publisher, their in-house editor polished it. But it's still my voice. It's still, when you read it, I've actually had readers who know me and who've known me for years tell me that when they open the book and they read the devotions, they can hear me. They hear, it's as if I'm reading it to them because they know me and they know my voice. So.
And the voice is the very important thing, you know. You know, I tell people I want children to use the library. I was an eighth grade graduate and then was on my own because of certain situations at the age of 14. But I learned early on that you can go to the library and I can go and visit with Abraham Lincoln today with what he wrote. I can go have a conversation with George Washington and learn his. And for some reason, I know you must have, as a writer, you must have thought about this. I never maybe asked a writer this before, but, you know, for some reason, when people are writing, they seem to be very forthcoming. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like when people come in here and they trust me. A guy may have murdered 10 people. They find out right away, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm visiting him in prison recording this interview. I'm here to find out what made you do this and do you know about the living God? And when it's not just talk and they feel in the heart, suddenly they blossom and they open wide open. So I've never told anybody this before, but, you know. So why do you think it is that writers are so oftentimes very open, something they wouldn't say in a public situation, but they'll tell you, oh, by the way, you know, this very private thing happened when I was 7 years of age and. Why do they do that in a book form? Why is it safe?
I believe that it's the writer's commitment, because I did this in the devotional. There are devotions I shared where there's one devotion where I talked about how I overcame anxiety years ago, and it was related to the topic. But I believe that a good writer is committed to connecting with his or her reader. And readers want to know that the writer is being vulnerable, authentic, transparent, because that's the way the reader will be able to relate to them.
We want to trust, because you're the filmmaker, you're the director, and we're going to go down where you take us. I've always been very careful about who I read, because an author's going to live in my head very, very deeply for the first few months, but then as it trickles off, but the rest of your life, you know, like I can quote Mark Twain right now, I can quote, you know, Shakespeare, whoever it might be that I've read, mostly the Bible. But I want to ask you this, because we got about 10 more minutes left, but I want to ask you this: how did Ava Pennington come to know Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, that you would specialize in devotionals that lead people towards a deeper walk with the Lord?
Well, I actually was the beneficiary of a vacation Bible school in my girlfriend's backyard when I was 12 years old, and her older sister was leading the VBS. And for those of you who aren't familiar with vacation Bible school, it's usually a summer program. A lot of churches will do it in their buildings, but I'm talking maybe 50 plus years ago, it was held in a backyard, and people would sponsor this in their backyard, and they would teach the Bible and play games, and children would invite their friends in the neighborhood to come and hear the gospel. And so I did. And that's when I was first presented with the concept of having a relationship with Jesus and not just going to church. And, you know, for a while in my teenage years, I really wasn't serious about discipleship. But in my 20s, my early 20s, I came back and got serious about it. And I have been blessed with people who have poured into me and discipled me in such powerful ways. And this is not, I'm not taking credit for any of it. It's by the grace of God that He led me to a church where I was discipled so beautifully. And then I moved to Florida about little less than 25 years ago. And I just heard the Lord say to me, okay, you've had people pour into you. Now it's time for you to do the same and pour into others. And so I began teaching and writing, and I just feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's not work. It's just a labor of love.
Do you get letters back from people who have read your devotionals and say, you know, this has changed my life? Can you bring to mind any letters that, or?
I've actually gotten emails and an occasional letter. Most people will just send an email via my website. And by the way, my website's just my name. So it's www.avapennington.com.
Avapennington.com.
Yes. And you can reach me through my website. I have a weekly blog. You can subscribe to the weekly blog. It'll pop into your inbox, your email inbox. I also send out a quarterly newsletter, and you can subscribe to that. That just updates you on what I'm doing, where I'm teaching, new projects I'm working on. And so you can reach me through my website, and a lot of people do. And so I will get emails letting me know that a particular devotion or the entire devotional spoke to them at a time when they needed it. I do write for other ministries as a freelancer, and I've gotten feedback from that work. So it's very gratifying to know that not only am I doing what I love to do, but God so graciously and so mercifully allows me little windows into how He is working in me and through me,
you know,
not just for my good,
sure,
but for others.
Now, before Mother Teresa died, or after Mother Teresa died, they found some notes that she kept, which, what a lovely human being, but she said she had had bouts of depression, which kind of shocked us. And I wonder how, you know, I've written a few books. I've never released them because waves of inferiority flow through me and going, nah, you know. And right now I'm thinking, well, maybe it's time you turned a couple of these over to Ava and see what she thinks. And that could be the death of me. Go, you are terrible. Forget about it. Or this is going to cost you $100,000 to fix this thing up. But so I forget what I was going to go with that. Because whenever I get off on me, I seem to go down a rabbit hole as I've gotten older. And then it's hard for me to get back. Like, well, okay, what was the point you were trying to make? Especially when it involves me.
Oh, I had received letters and emails.
Yeah, I want to hear about those. Here, just a couple that are stuck in your mind, like I was about to kill myself and I read your devotional, or, you know, I was going through a divorce.
It's nothing that quite that dramatic, but I have had notes from people who said, I'd never thought of God this way, mm-hmm. or I'd never understood when God says he's a jealous God. I never understood what that meant. You know, why would God call himself jealous? Or,
yeah.
So it was more just notes thanking me for clarifying things that helped them get closer to God, because they understood more of what he was revealing about himself. One of my favorite quotes is from C.S. Lewis, and he wrote a number of books, but one of the things he wrote was the Screwtape Letters. And Screwtape Letters is fiction, but it's filled with truth. And I read, are you familiar with that?
I've heard the name. I've never read anything by him except maybe a quote.
Okay. Well, he wrote a small, very small paperback book called the Screwtape Letters. And what it did
is... What does that mean, Screwtape Letters? What in the world does that mean?
Well, it was interesting because it was fiction. It was a series of letters that a senior demon wrote to his nephew on how to trip up Christians. So it was advice, but in the negative, right? It was from the negative perspective.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The bread of life, the Redeemer. You were there even before time began, light of the world, friend of sinners, Son of God and the Creator of man. Great I Am, Jehovah, everlasting Father, mighty God. I call you Lord, I call you Savior. Paid a debt that I could never afford.